money.
Let's talk money.
I don't have your money.
I know I'd be a lot happier with some extra cash.
Is this about money?
Obviously, this is all about money.
Oh, man, we got bills to pay, buddy.
With practical tips and a focus on scripture, let's talk money. With Dave and Reb. From More Than Enough. Real conversations about money for real people. Let's talk money.
Are you ready to talk money, Reb?
I'm ready to talk money.
Good morning. Are you good and ready to talk money?
Oh, wait. Do we have to analyze this?
No, it's Good Friday. I just wanted to throw good into the beginning here.
I missed that. It's been too early already.
So. Welcome to the show where Dave starts with a really bad
joke
intro. Right. Not very good. Well, if you're a first time listener, welcome.
Please don't leave.
And if you've listened to the show before, you know that, this is pretty normal for our show. So welcome. Just want to do a little shout out to Trinity Family Wealth Advisors and Tim Jenkins and his team. They are sponsoring the show today. So thank you, Tim and your team. If you want to know what Tim and they have a very unique practice. So I'm going to take 10 seconds. Really, they understand legacy. If there was a way to wrap up what Tim does, if you are thinking, what do I do in terms of legacy and money and God? Kind of those three things. Tim and his team are the ones to talk to. So you can.
And he's going to be coming on the show soon. So
right on
in the next little while. So
and yeah. you can find them on the web. That's the easiest way. TrinityFamilyWealth.ca. So that just reach out and if you've got questions or like I said, if legacy is on your mind, they're great people to talk to. So. Reb, we got a regular guest with us.
Sometimes I think you guys should just pray for Ray. He has to put up with us, you know, regularly. So I don't know.
Sure you guys. He keeps saying yes. Yeah. So, when you say no, Ray.
No. Yeah. Okay, I'm going to qualify that. God tells Ray he can keep saying yes to us. That's actually how that works. And I'm always grateful to the Lord for, and I'm not kidding. Yeah. So yeah, that's very good. Anyway, we're glad to have Ray Borg from notmine.ca and FD Financial Discipleship Canada and all the work. I won't even try and say your title anymore. You just do good work over there. So thank you for coming again. So today is Good Friday. Where we are reflecting on the death and suffering of Christ, of course. But we are going to talk about money. We're going to talk about these provision stories that we've been hearing about since the beginning of the year. Every month we had Danny Covey and Nancy Steele and Bill from CHRI actually sharing his personal testimony and story of how God's provided. And when I was thinking about today's show, I thought we would dig into a little bit of when we're in a position of maybe wilderness. Like I've been hearing that word a lot in this Lenten season. We're in this wilderness space where we hear about like an off distant rainstorm that's gentle and beautiful and providing water for the earth. But we're like in this desert space and we hear about these spaces of provision that others are experiencing, but we haven't quite got there ourselves or we haven't seen it and we're struggling to believe or we're struggling. Actually, we use words like, well, why me? Why them? Why, you know, God isn't really who he says he is. And we, you know, sometimes I hear people's stories and I hear my own skepticism flying through the air. I'm like, no. I want to believe that God is who he says he is. So I want to dig into that, those ideas, maybe, you know, sharing some of our own stories, provision that we've seen others experiencing. And what does that do for us? How does that land? And how can it land in a way that is encouraging and hope building and faith building and not so much like, oh, why me, poor me, that kind of thing. So that's what I'm thinking about today.
Interesting thought in terms of just even in the context of Good Friday. Like I was thinking about the disciples and they are in this place of, I don't understand. what's going on here. Mm-hmm. Jesus was supposed to be the Messiah. He's supposed to liberate us from oppression. We've seen all these miracles happen over the last 3 years. And here he's hanging on a cross, right? Like, and it doesn't make sense. And so maybe I'm picking up on
yeah,
that, but
no,
but I know God is at work. I know that he can. I know that, but here I am and I'm watching my Savior die, you know, thinking of John and the disciples and the followers of Jesus going, we don't understand. And I think that's really real in the area of finance, where sometimes we're like, well, Lord, is it me? Like, have I sinned? What have I done wrong to keep? Sometimes it's a recurring nightmare, a recurring coming back into the desert and going, why am I back here, Lord? And I think this morning we're talking about Good Friday, mm-hmm. which again is that paradox of well, it is Good Friday, but it wasn't very good on the Friday as the disciples were looking, right? Mm-hmm. So
they couldn't see they couldn't see that. As Tony Campolo says, it's Friday, but you know, he used to say Sunday's coming, you know, but yet the interesting part, I'm glancing through Matthew 27 and one of the little headings over, verse 62 to 66 says, Pilate put a guard on the tomb because there was this rumor that he was going to rise again. Mm. And I find that fascinating. He didn't set it because they were going to rise again, but because there was this idea from the Pharisees, well, his disciples are going to come and steal Jesus. And yet, I don't know, this morning, I feel like there was this little bit of like expectancy that something more was going to happen than anybody understood. Mm. And scripture, like the Lord put this part of the story in for a very, I don't know for what reason, but to me it stirs up this idea like, oh man, there was something happening. There was something anticipated. And I think in our own wilderness spaces, because we have stories of others around us, because we have the stories of getting through the wilderness over and over again, we see it in the scripture, we can have some anticipation that there's something that's going to happen. And in that time on Good Friday, you know, he set a guard because they were expecting something, even if they were believing it would be the disciples stealing the body. Well, they had no idea what was coming. And we don't either in our own journeys of finances or our walk with God. So anyway, we've talked a lot and I haven't even read the scripture I wanted to read this morning, but I don't know. Do you have any thoughts, Ray?
Well, you know, I just taking on that theme, that whole sense that just before Jesus breathed his last, it got dark. Mm. And then as he breathed his last, the earth shook and the veil, the mm-hmm. curtain to the most holy ripped from mm-hmm. top to bottom, which in the natural couldn't happen. And mm-hmm. so there it did. Another visible sign, something was shifting and something was happening, a sense of anticipation, keeping with your theme there.
Yeah.
But they didn't understand it. Mm-hmm. They saw it and heard, but how do you process and assimilate that? It's only as times walk, then suddenly you see, okay, God, you're doing something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and often it's in the, you know, the look behind you or the to go, oh, you know, that was dark. That was like there was stuff going on. There was earthquakes and all of that. But really, you only see kind of God break through when you're through it and you look back and you go, oh, okay. Sometimes that breakthrough is like instantaneous, and sometimes that breakthrough is just a quiet sunrise that the sun just slowly comes up and you're like, okay, oh wait, it is light out here.
We're on the other side of the story in our lives. So the other thought I had was, what were they actually doing? They were doing kind of what they knew to do. They were being near Jesus, some of them, mm-hmm. right? John went, they went to the cross. They were grieving. And what else do you do in a place like that? but actually grieve. Mm. And, you know, some of us might find ourselves in that grieving space. Maybe you've lost a job. Maybe these, you have you feel unwarranted anxiety over the tariff discussion and the cost of living, and your money is more tight than ever, you know, but what did they do? They grieved, and we can grieve these things. We can ask the Lord good questions. He's not afraid of those things. I'm sure over those few days they were like, what is going on? And they were just doing the next things they knew to do. Now the disciples ended up going back fishing. I think, you know, you kind of return to the old way of doing things, but yet there is still that sense of anticipation. No, something is shifting here. And the people in the temple must have known something was shifting when they saw that veil torn. Mm-hmm. Like, how can you even explain that? It was a heavy, heavy piece of garment. You just don't, like, anyway, that's a whole other story, but I find that fascinating. But let's talk a little bit about, like, those stories that we hear that to encourage us on our journey. I don't know if you guys have any stories that you remember where you're thinking, this is a story that built up my faith to trust God that He does provide for me. Like, I don't know if you guys have any of those stories. We've heard some of Ray's own personal stories over the years, but mm-hmm. I asked specifically you guys to come up with an other story.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Ray.
I'm just thinking. I thought about a recent situation actually last fall, where my sister suddenly felt it was time for her to relocate back from the city, back to the farm.
To where you guys grew up?
Where we grew up.
Okay.
Because my parents were aging and she felt, I think I need to be there to support them. She never married and she just thought, I think I can do this. And she had a condo, and so she decided, okay, let's put this on the market. And it hadn't been updated in some years. So a good friend came along. Well, actually, my wife and I both had the same realtor come to mind. And so we reached out to him and said, would you consider? So we did a walkthrough, and he said, you need to do A, B, C, D. And it's like, okay. All right, this is a major work project. And so we did. We actually spent over the summer working and renovating, painting, just fixing, doing a number of things. And my sister from where we grew up also came and joined a couple of occasions. And slowly we just emptied the apartment and the condo ready for sale, you know, all those things you need to do. And, you know, had to wait at certain times. You know, we had prepared an order for new flooring, new counter space. And then the young fellow who helped us just disappeared. And so happened and was like, where did that go? And so 2 weeks later, it was like, so where's the process? And it's like, they had no idea what we were talking about. And Arlene and I and my sister had met with them.
You mean the people who had provided this person to do the work?
Well, the one who was creating the plan and the pricing and all that kind of stuff. So it was like, okay, so we're starting from ground zero again. So anyway, so explained everything. And so anyway, it was an interesting process to go through that and then watch the timing unfold. As things got delayed, there were challenges. You know, somebody came in, put some new flooring in, cut
the hardwood on top of the other. How is the seeing provision?
It was interesting then how the timing of the Lord came through all those things. Then my sister, it was ready to go on the market. We prayed over it. They did an open house. I think two people came through that open house that day. Wow. One of them said, I think my sister would love this place. And sure enough, Monday morning, he came through with the sister and they decide they would like the condo.
Wow.
And there were one or two others for sale in the building. And so it was like, okay, this is interesting. So they put in an offer, you know, started very low, very low. And it was like, we dialogued about and prayed, okay, this seems like a good amount. And so then they did some countering, and then it was like, okay, she was at the office and it was like, still, this has got a long way to go yet. And so she's like, she was getting pretty discouraged by it. And I said, you know what? Don't respond. Allow yourself to get home. Pray. Clear your head. And say, Father, what are we doing here? By the time she got home, they had come back again and upped their offer. She hadn't counteroffered. They came up on their own accord to the number that she thought was acceptable.
No way.
She never did anything. It was like, Lord, you can only do this. They put in the offer and then an hour later came back with another offer. I'd never heard of that. Anyway, so then it was like, yes. So everything was signed off on it. And, you know, she moved out of the condo and she was there 3 weeks before my dad's passing. But the interesting part of it was the other two condos were still on the market when hers closed 2 months later. Okay. So we just saw it was the hand of the Lord for the provision, the price that she wanted for it, and then seeing the timing, and God opened that window, bring the right person. And because it was on the main floor of a condominium, usually people are less interested in that. And actually it sold above the other two that stayed on the market for some period. So it was like, God, you orchestrated this. This was your provision for her to position her into the next season of her life.
Right. And to also provide for your parents. Yes, actually, even though your dad, as you said, your dad passed a few weeks later, but she's there for your mom right now. And
I know. So it was just, it was such a gift. She saw that as a gift. One, that the purchaser came up without being asked.
Yeah.
And then the timing when the others didn't sell.
And what does that do for you, even as you reflect on that and in your, because we're talking about how other stories influence and impact our own faith or our own despair.
Well, for me, it was about her own journey with the Lord and the testimony of seeing God move on her behalf, you know, in a supernatural way. I think that so built up her faith to say, okay, God, you saw my need, that I chose, I want to serve my mom and dad. And in that process, you went before me and you prepared a way in unlikely circumstances, and yet you did that. And for me, it was just encouraging to say, God, you're still on the throne. Mm-hmm. You know our situations. You know the minutest details. You know what's on our heart in terms of honoring what my sister had thought. And it wasn't extravagant or anything, but this is the amount of Father I'm believing for, and to see that come to pass.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah. And listening to the story, I'm like, and there's a lot of people sitting there going, why doesn't that sell for me? I'm the one with the other apartment.
Right. Yes, I know.
And you know, there is a bit of a tendency for us in the trying to figure out the desert to have that. Okay. Did I not pray enough? Did I not?
We've gone to Ray with those questions. What are we doing wrong?
and I think part of the encouragement there is, you know, maybe that's the simplicity, but you know, we read through scripture in many different ways. Don't try and figure out God, right? He is good. We know some of his characters, but you know, I often say in what we do is, you know, there's his will, there's the Lord's will, and then there's his way. And then I right away in my own brain think of Abraham, who gets a promise that there'll be, you know, your descendants are going to be the stars in the sky. Well, he doesn't see that. I mean, he has one son, well, two sons, right? So, you know, you're like, oh my goodness, like the Lord works in a different way, but we can take so much faith in seeing the story and saying, okay, Lord, I can celebrate, as Paul writes in the Romans, we cry and with those that weep, and then we get to celebrate with those that when they're in their place of joy. And I think that's really, really, you know, again, this is one of those situations where you got to celebrate with your sister. And you can, looking back, see all of the things that kind of, but in the middle of it, you're the one doing the painting, right? You're the one doing all of the.
Oh yeah, because that's the part that we love, is that there's some effort, and we meet God in the journey and the effort and in the waiting. Because you did specifically say, "Don't jump, go home, wait, pray. Mm-hmm. And then by the time she got there, the answer had come. So it wasn't that long, but your instruction even to her was in the waiting. I'm thinking of a couple things. Our good friend, Scott Stiller, said something to us on the weekend, and he said he doesn't always answer the whys of like why this, why that, why me, why them, but he will instruct us in the way that goes back. Mm-hmm. And I loved that thought. So I'm going to say it again. He's not always going to answer the whys. In fact, he very seldom does that for us, but he will instruct us so we can listen to him. So if you are in that position and you own the other condo that's not selling, you know, ask him for the, the way forward, because even the stories we've had in January, February, March that share these provisions, the journeys, everybody's story has parts of the listening, the waiting, the asking, and the following through on God's instruction. Mm-hmm. And you may feel like you hear a story like this, like that story. I was thinking of my own friend, and it was her wedding rings. And I wrote about it in my book because I've never forgotten it. She had been on cleaning her hands or putting moisture on her hands, gets out of the car. Her wedding rings had been in her skirt. They fall onto the ground. She doesn't realize it. She walks into the church and later on realize, oh, I don't have my rings. And then they search and search and search and search, and they never found them. The lawn gets mowed, you know, people are driving on the driveway, and it's weeks go by, and someone in our church has a dream, and that an angel came and took the rings out of her pocket and put them on the ground. And so that there was that dream, but I don't know the timing of it now, whether the dream came before or after the finding of the rings. They went one more time and they looked down, they went walking along the grass, and they, lo and behold, the rings were on the grass on top of each other, just sitting perfectly. And it's such a crazy story that you hardly would believe it. Why would God care about a set of wedding rings? So you know what she did? She then, the next week, made a whack. We were a small country church, 100 people. She made pies. So afterwards, you know, it was like that scripture verse where you go down and celebrate because you found what was lost, you know? And we celebrated and rejoiced with her. Mm-hmm. Now, we could have gotten stuck in the mud and said, well, you know, I've lost, you know, more than that. Why would God care? But it goes back to we don't know the whys. For whatever reason, there is something powerful about what God wanted to speak to us about his care. Right? And in springtime now, we're hearing about these birds. We hear Jesus say, like, don't worry. Doesn't God take care of the birds of the air? They don't toil or spin, or like the flowers, they don't toil or spin. And yet there's nobody as beautiful as these lilies of the field, you know? And he tells us these things, not just because it's a nice Sunday school story for our kids. There's something powerful in these, like, wow, he cares enough about these little wedding rings. He cares enough about a bird. Like, it's almost too good to be true in some ways. And yet these stories, these testimonies around us are constantly reminding us of his goodness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that's, you know, again, that's the reminder that we all need, that God is good, that fundamentally we may not understand, we may be, you know, all of the questions that we might have, but to remind us today that he is good. It's not just that he does good things, right? Mm-hmm. But right. That he is good. It is who he is, right? And so then we can go, okay, it's difficult. It's dark. I don't get it. I don't understand it. I don't know the why. But I know that he is good.
And we can ask him that question, right? I don't know if you've ever been in a place where you've, like, oh yeah, I'm not getting the answer to the why, but you've had to ask the way forward. Yeah.
That's right. And you need to just rest that God is still good. And I think of Paul, you know, He talked about the joy set before us and just walking in that place and confidence to say, okay, God, I don't have an understanding of it. Mm-hmm. And maybe on this side of heaven, I won't, but I'm still going to serve you and say that you are good.
And I think one of the difficult parts of this conversation is looking at it from the perspective of, you know, how do I step out of my own wilderness and celebrate with someone else? Mm-hmm. You know, we see the rings found, and yet we're, you know, our house hasn't sold, and we've been double, you know, we've been seeing, you know, money go out the door while we're trying to get this house sold. And we're thinking, oh my goodness, like, how long can I hold on? And then somebody, and you're like, Lord, you found her ring. Why can't you do this other thing for me? Right?
Yeah, I know.
But and to be able to step into the celebration and go, okay, wait a minute. How do I join the celebration and not, in a sense, sabotage it? Even in my own heart, just say, well, I'm not going to.
But at the same time, while still being in the hard space and being able to grieve your own story and at the same time hold a celebration for someone else, that takes.
So Ray, you've got about a minute and a half. give us the, you know.
You know, before I stepped into the studio, I read about the parable of the lost coin, where she had 10 coins and she lost the one. But when she finds it after much work, she gathers around to celebrate that she found the
coin. Which was the pies for my girlfriend.
I know.
Right? Yes.
So it's like, you know what? It is. It's a challenge. And I mean, you shake your head, but yet I think the Lord invites us into that place and say, okay, let me rejoice with those and grieve with those who grieve. Mm-hmm. And I may be grieving, but God, you're still faithful.
Mm. Yeah. Oh my goodness.
And you know, the verse that comes to mind as we wrap it up, you know, is the joy of the Lord is our strength. Mm-hmm. And so part of the celebration is actually celebrating the goodness of God in this situation. And I know for me that's, you know, no matter the circumstance, if I can pull myself out and go, wait a minute, it is God. I'm actually celebrating the goodness of God. And I'm seeing it right in front of me in this situation. And that really helps me to enter into that celebration. You're blessed and I'm not.
Yeah.
Those are dangerous things. We could keep talking about this. Goodness. I don't. Yeah. It's time to pray, I imagine. Are you keeping track of that?
Well, you can.
I was going to let Ray pray for us today.
Go right.
Well, Father, we thank you, Lord. In the midst of the times, Lord, where we find ourselves in the wilderness, Lord, may we keep our eyes on you. Father, not on the circumstances or the why questions, but upon you. And that as we ask of you, Lord, that you will speak instructions about the way forward. Mm-hmm. And Lord, that we will trust our lives with you, just as Jesus did, as we're reminded on Good Friday. He trusted the directions of the Father to lay down his life. That there are greater purposes involved. And so, Father, there are greater purposes in our lives that you're accomplishing to teach us about your ways more than your deeds. And so, Father, we just say thank you for that. Lord, would you bless those listening and watching? Would you speak to their heart? Would you encourage them? May their faith be stirred that you are more than able. And we just say thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Mm.
All right. Well,
thanks to Tim.
Yeah. Thanks to Tim and Trinity Family Wealth. Check them out. Thank you for listening. And thank you, Ray, for joining us. And join us next week when we talk money.
Let's Talk Money is a division of More Than Enough Financial Fitness, where God is transforming hearts and bringing hope for today and freedom for tomorrow. For more information or to comment on today's show, please visit morethanenough.ca.